We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples talking today here with Riley County Historical Society is the feature of our program today. We're talking one-room schools and the Rocky Ford one-room school that has its open house coming up October 6th. Roger Brandon, Doug Tippin joining us here today for this conversation. It's really interesting because, you know, this is, as you mentioned, there's not a lot of these left here. Most of them are just being preserved as historical markers in the state. But, you know, it's so important, I think, to keep the memory of these alive here for a number of reasons. It's a big part of Kansas history.
You are right on that. I might go into why, what was the motivation to get into this. First of all, we're both former teachers, and for me, and I think also, well, Doug attended a one-room schoolhouse, but how did the teachers manage first graders and eighth graders?
Yeah.
Now, there's really an art to what the successful teachers did. Well, we were motivated by visiting with Charlie and Doris Setterquist, who were teachers in the Manhattan system, but they had roots in northern Riley County. And so Charlie took us around to all the sites of the school, and we just, the interest grew, I think, with him, our association with him, because he could tell stories. He was one of those rare individuals who could drive, we could drive down the a country road, look at a piece of property, and he could name at least two generations, possibly three, that had owned that property. You know, he was embedded in the culture of the northern Riley County, and the farm area, the rural area.
Wow. And so how did the books then come about?
Well, we decided to do something for the Riley County Sesquicentennial in 2005. So that's kind of was our goal, to get all this completed by then. So we interviewed a lot of former teachers that were still in the area and a lot of former students, and started collecting pictures. We obtained a lot of photographs from the Riley County Historical Museum, and then started putting it together. Yeah, Roger mentioned Charles Setterquist. In fact, he taught at Prairie Rock School that we mentioned earlier that's been restored. He was the last teacher there when they closed that particular school in the late 1940s.
Wow. And you know, you got these photos here, and you encourage more people to share photos if they have any groups or anything from those former schools.
Yes, you. We want their people that was an important part of their lives to go to the school, the experiences of getting and to school and back and stuff. So we don't want. We feel like capturing the groups of people that were in those schools is one way of keeping the spirit alive. Those kids grew up and they became productive citizens, farmers, whatever, in their area. And they learned things at the one-room school that helped them. And we just like to get more and more of information and pictures of what it was like back then.
Now, he said, Doug, you attended a one-room school.
I attended a one-room school, in Clay County, 3 miles south of Clay Center and 1 mile west, called Four Mile School. Went all 8 years there. Had to walk about a mile to get to school. And we had two or three students in each grade. I think the most we ever had was 15 students. So, that was, looking back on it, that was quite an interesting experience. I'd like to mention, not only were the teachers teaching eight grades, all subjects, but they were the school custodian, had to start their fire in the morning. They were the school counselor, the PE teacher, the art teacher, the music teacher. They did it all. So, yeah, it's amazing how they could control, you know, all those students, all different subjects. And, of course, in the earlier years, some of the one-room schools had as many as 30-some students in the classroom. And in many cases, the teachers were very young, and some of the students were probably about their age, you know, 17, 18, because a lot of times the boys would go to school for just a few months in the wintertime because they had agricultural duties to do in the spring and the fall. So some of those students got to be in their upper teens, still in the 7th and 8th grade. So that would be quite a challenge.
Yeah. Well, and did you guys have snow days back then, or did that not even occur
well,
to you?
Well, yes. See, it was in the early 1950s. We had a real bad snowstorm. It snowed quite a bit, and then there was an ice storm followed that, and ice was on top of the snow. And we lived on a county road 1 mile from the school, and they couldn't get the road open. Equipment kept breaking down because of all the ice. So we did not have school for 1 week until everything melted and we could get through again. So, yeah, we had snow days and that. We got out of school the 1st of April. Hmm. So the students in town were always kind of upset about that. They had to go through May, and we got out in April. So anyway, it was fun. I might mention some advantages of one-room schools. The younger students could learn from the older students because the teacher would call the students up front, put them on the recitation bench, and then the younger ones could listen in and learn from that. And in our school, there were a lot of great friendships. I still have contact with friends that went to grade school with there. And as we mentioned earlier, it was a community connector for social functions and parties and so forth. So there were a lot of advantages. Also, there were disadvantages. We did not have a hot lunch program. You just brought everything in your dinner pail. Wintertime, the building was cold. We happened to have a furnace in the basement of the school with a register there on the floor, so the teacher would let us come up and sit around that with our coats on in the wintertime. Real small library. We didn't have any running water. We had a well outside to get our water. We had electricity, but back in those early years, there was no electricity in the schools. Many of the teachers were very young, and a lot of them didn't really have a whole lot of training when you think about education preparation today. So there was usually quite a high turnover of teachers in those earlier years.
So looking back on it, do you think you got a quality education, or are you jealous of what you see nowadays that kids have?
Oh, I think I got a good education. I learned to read and write, so
there you go.
It was I think we got a good education. We didn't have all the things that the students in the town had, but we had a lot of fun. As was mentioned earlier, we played other schools in our area in softball and basketball and that. So it was a good experience. I'm glad I had the opportunity to attend a one-room school.
And Roger, do you find that the same thing? People that you've visited with, do they feel the same way that their education was maybe more magical? I guess I don't know if that's the right word, but like than what kids experience today.
Well, I think so. This is an area where I'd like to know more because it depended on the quality of the teacher, the discipline they had, the creativity they had, and I'm sure some young teachers weren't up to it. So there were probably voids, but still there was lessons in real life and responsibility that were conveyed in the country school because Doug pointed out what they had to do to prepare for school. For example, some of the boys of the school would have to go to a neighboring farm to get water or firewood. And the stories abound about the difficulty of getting to school. They talk about riding ponies. There are probably some tragedies of where some kids got lost trying to get home in an ice storm and things like that. So real life, you know, knowing how to interact with people, I'm sure they got a good dose of that. But as far as arithmetic skills and reading skills, I don't know. And this is one thing I think we kind of could not capture in the books is the techniques. We get a hint of those, the techniques that the teachers used, but I wish I could go back in time and visit with a teacher and say, okay, how did you handle social studies? What units did you cover? You know, what, that sort of thing. Just to, how did they do it? As a former teacher, I'm always interested in learning. How do people become really effective? I taught at Manhattan High. I was associated with a lot of good teachers, and I could go up and down the halls and see things that really impressed me, you know, and the style of teaching, the techniques they used and stuff.
Could you fathom teaching first graders through eighth graders?
Well,
no, not really.
But I think the thing also with the real life thing, so many times they talk about the older kids helping the younger kids. Now, there's something about that that they, maybe a lot of the urban schools kids do not have, that kind of association and responsibility.
Yeah.
A lot of the students had responsibilities at school to help out the teacher. For example, if they burned coal, students could help take the ashes outside and dump them and bring in fuel for the stove. Students would quite often help sweep the floor, erase the chalkboards, take the erasers outside and pound them on the concrete to get the chalk dust out. And as Roger said, go get drinking water. I noticed sometimes the older students would help the younger ones with flashcard activities and spelling activities and such. So we used to have spelling bees sometimes with another school, and that was a lot of fun also.
Yeah. Well, there's just a different way of life. I mean, and for the rural parts of Kansas, I mean, that was pretty much the way you had to do it because, you know, people live so far apart and traveling, it wouldn't have made sense to have a bunch of people at one school here in the, I guess, in the middle of the area. But
one thing you have to, is also evident is that in early days, the teachers had to live with somebody in the area, and they might rotate through various households. And so you have a closeness of the people who are responsible for the school, the locals that are on the school board, and, you know, they're living very close with some of those people, so you kind of see the how close-knit they became, and I'm sure there were some stresses and strains there that think about now if you didn't have your own apartment or your own house and you had to bunk with your employer or something like that.
Yeah, that would be quite different. I want to talk a little bit about activities, but let's do that after a break here on News Radio KMAN. We'll talk about how sports came about in these one-room schools and much more. Stay tuned. You're listening to In Focus on KMAN.